So here we are in the third Sunday of Advent. We are anticipating and waiting for the birth of the Christ child. We are looking for the light of the world. And with those thoughts in mind, I pray that you hear these words as God breathes new life into them tonight and speaks anew to our hearts. And then we'll talk a little bit about them and head into communion. Hear these words from the Gospel of Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. To be registered with Mary he went, who was his betrothed, who was great with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. There was no place for them in the inn. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me? Holy God, we pray that we would learn again and again to sit in humility before Scripture, that we would sit with humility and look through the eyes of humility, hear through the ears of humility what you would say to us anew. We confess that it is so easy for us, God, to immediately lay interpretation over what we hear. It is easy for us to assume we know what you're saying, Lord, before we even ask. Forgive us and speak anew to us through this story that many of us have heard so many times, and yet your Spirit breathes new life into it every single time it is read. Speak through the words I say, O God. Let this all be glorifying to you. For you alone are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I don't know when it was that growing up, I realized that every Christmas movie I watched was very, very joyful with lots of tinsel and lights and excitement. And I remember hearing it's the most wonderful time of the year, right? And it is. It is because we are claiming again the light in the darkness. The power of God's love is greater. We are claiming again the truth of God's love conquers all. And yet, we all know, and I remember growing up in a minister's family, I would see that it was not the most wonderful time of the year for many, many people. In fact, it was a time of year that seemed to bring into sharp focus the suffering of people's lives that was already evident to them. And somehow the contrast with a season that was supposed to be full of joy and grace made it even more stark, their suffering, whether it be a lack of jobs or whether it be lack of food, shelter, whether it be people who had gone through a bitter divorce. I remember one family had lost a child. So many ways in which suffering is real and visits us all. But this time of the year, it can be especially stark when we feel and see and hear and know of the suffering. It was only when I saw that wonderful movie, It's a Wonderful Life, that I got a taste for a little bit of what I felt was kind of a Hollywood version. Not perfect and not the gospel, but gave some voice to the truth of God's love in the midst of a world that is hurting. It was different than the Hallmark movies I had seen on TV, and we didn't have many channels when I was growing up. But I would love to watch the Hallmark movies and always would cry and just thought they were so beautiful. And I remember when I saw It's a Wonderful Life, it struck a chord deeper within me and spoke to something that I knew to be true. If you haven't seen it, I do recommend that you see it. George Bailey is this wonderful man who has kind of not pursued his dreams because he has held up this burden of responsibility for his family and then for the community in which he lives. And he runs upon hard times where financially he is strapped to the point where he believes he will lose it all. And it's because he has done so many good things for so many people and has not been wise with his money because he has erred on the side of his immense generosity that he has found himself in a predicament where he sees no way out. Now, if you've ever been there, I don't mean necessarily financially, but if you've ever been in a moment where you feel there is no way out, it is a stark and painful and dark moment. And our minds can threaten to undo us. And George Bailey was in this moment and he was standing on a bridge. If you haven't seen the movie, I think I'm going to ruin it for you. But he was standing on the bridge and was contemplating jumping over that bridge because he could see no human way out. No human possibilities. And so what he did was he was waiting there and an angel came to him. And somehow that angel really meant a lot to me because he was not beautiful. His name was not Gabriel. His name was Clarence, and he was kind of bumbling around, and he did not look like anything of an angel at all. But Clarence, the angel, did something that I wish we had the opportunity to do at times, and I do believe in God's kingdom this will be possible. But Clarence gave George Bailey a vision of what the world would have been like, what his town would have been like, if George had never lived. And George could not believe the fact that his acts of kindness, tiny in his mind, had transformed life after life after life, and the influence of goodness, the ripple effects of his generosity, had poured through lives of people, one small thing at a time. And so when Clarence showed him what the world or what the town in which he lived would have been like had he not been born, it was dark and stark and sad and depressing. And it was filled with a sense of incredible sadness. And in this moment, George had an epiphany, a realization. His life actually mattered. It really mattered what he did. It really mattered the kindness that he showed. It really mattered the small and simple things that he did, the gestures that he made on behalf of others, giving them loans to buy houses when they were not able to get them anywhere else. Enabled people to get out of the ditches they found themselves in. His life had made a vast difference, not just to one person, but to an entire town and beyond. And it wasn't just the direct impact of person to person, but it was the ripple effect of the kindness. One person, then that person was kind to another. You know how love works that way. And so George did not jump off the bridge that day, but instead went back and did something that's hard for all of us to do. He asked for help. And his town rallied around him, and they helped him beyond his hopes or imaginations. And he was restored to be able to maintain his business and his home and his life. What a wonderful life he realized he had had after all. Well, the scripture in Luke today, we find Joseph and Mary in the midst of Roman occupation, under Roman rule, and they are demanded to go back and to register under this very, very first time under this leader, this ruler. There was no choice in this matter, and it was not a happy family trip. It was a drudgery. It was filled with difficulty. It was impossible in some ways because Mary was expecting the baby any day. But guess what? She and Joseph were not married yet. She was technically still an unmarried pregnant teenage girl. They were poor. She couldn't stay back home with her family because she was an embarrassment to them. And her reputation had preceded her, perhaps, into the town of Bethlehem as Joseph walked along with her. Not because Joseph knew exactly what was to be the case with her, though an angel had come to him and told him to stay by her side and to not turn his back on her. But Joseph, being a man of integrity and of valor, and of strength, he stood with Mary, his betrothed, who was to give birth to a child that he was told by an angel was the Son of God. It was all very improbable and very stark. You can imagine how they really felt. It wasn't surrounded with bright lights and excitement, but rather duty and determination, and grit. Sometimes to follow Jesus really requires duty, determination, and grit, along with the power of the Holy Spirit guiding us. So they were there in super difficult circumstances. Joseph had stepped up to be the man he had called to be, following God's guidance. Mary had said yes to something that was impossible because God had found favor with her. And there was no room in the inn. It was a dark time. And yet it is in the midst of true darkness that Jesus does come. It really would be a Hallmark story if Jesus had come into the most wonderful time of the year. But Jesus comes in darkness, which makes it the most wonderful time of the year. Just as George Bailey was able to look back on his life and know that his life really did matter, I would invite you and me to think about tonight, what would this world be like if Jesus had never been born? Can we even imagine the darkness that would face us? Can we imagine the despair and the suffering that would consume us? Can we imagine the hopelessness and the end of all things as we understand it without Jesus. You see, the world that we have the benefit of living in is a world into which Jesus has already come. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus has already changed everything. And so the goodness we see is the light of the resurrection around us, and we experience something of God around the corner at every moment in creation and one another. But what if Jesus had never been born? You know, we think about the suffering of this world and we wonder why God allows it, when perhaps the question is, what would our world look like without Jesus? How would life even be possible apart from the Christ child who came in the darkness? In this dark time of year, these dark, short days, as we lead into the shortest day of the year, and we prepare and anticipate the coming of the Christ child, we need to understand that it is true that the light has burst into the darkness where there was no room in the inn, where our hearts were closed and our doors were locked, where our lives were shut apart from God, and yet God still came, and God still comes. The light refuses our refusal, and he comes, and he comes, and he comes, and he comes. And because he has come, though we do know darkness and pain in this world, and though there may be times that, like George, we can see no way out, we know that we do not suffer as those who have no hope, because Jesus Christ, our Lord, has come into this darkness and has transformed it into the kingdom of his God. And one day, it will all be fulfilled, and the brightness and goodness we see in spots will be all that we see that covers everything, and all that has been lost will be found. All that has been shattered will be made whole. All that has been destroyed will be rebuilt, because God will not allow the world that he has created and loved with an intensity beyond our understanding to be snuffed out, even by our own evil. The light comes into the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome it. There is no room in the inn, and yet God does not regard that as important at all, because God will have God's way with this world. This is God's world. It is not ours. And God's light will shine. So on a very, very small and simple scale, George Bailey gives us an illustration about what the world could be like without Jesus. There would be no communion table. There would be no Wellspring band. There would be no preaching the gospel. There would be desperation and darkness and suffering with no end. Jesus fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament, and the fulfillment of the law is grace. It is in his grace that we live and move and have our being. God created the world out of love for love, but we turned away. And Jesus had to come, chose to come, submitted to come, that we may have life and have it abundantly. There is no room in the inn, But there is a king who breaks down all doors and who illuminates all darkness. And we praise his name tonight. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.